B-Pod Studios.
Gasper and Murray have scorching hot takes. Twisting your mind with Pat Celtics and Bates. They'll also talk socks and out-of-town fame. Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper
and Murray.
Gasper
and Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper
and Murray.
Gasper
and Murray.
People are still holding out hope for some kind of abbreviated baseball season this summer. College football will start in late August, NFL right after that. Do you think those sports seasons are in jeopardy? Are we going to have college football this fall?
There's a way of doing that. Nobody comes to the stadium. Put them in big hotels, you know, wherever you want to play. Keep them very well surveilled, and namely a surveillance, but have them tested like every week and make sure they don't wind up infecting each other or their family, and just let them play the season out. I mean, people say, well, you know, you can't play without spectators. Well, I think you'd probably get enough buy-in from people who are dying to see a baseball game, particularly me. I'm living in Washington. We have the world champion Washington Nationals. You know, I want to see them play again.
All right, Gasper Murray, 98.5 of Sports Hub. All right, ride with me on this, Chris. I have an itch I have to scratch because you know me and earworms. Whether it's the Dave O'Brien whistle, red auction announcer. Once you hear the Dave O'Brien whistle, you can't unhear it. That Amstel commercial some years ago it sounded like a man being taken against his will. And find that on the YouTube page, or I'll just tweet it. There's certain things I can't unhear. So that's Dr. Fauci this week, America's dad. Call him that because it's like we're all grounded, and we all keep asking, can we be ungrounded? And he keeps saying, well, we'll see. And he's very, you know, he's very even-keeled, as he should be. Dr. Fauci, who we're all, you know, we got to trust, the most trusted name right now in America, Dr. Fauci, Dr. Fauci, Dr. Fauci. I guess I really hadn't heard him speak all that much because, again, okay. I'm a big baby who has blocked all the coronavirus terms on Twitter. It's making me crazy. I've had enough. I don't watch the news. It makes me nuts. But I do hear these clips on Felger and Maz, and that was the one this week. And I was like, why does that voice sound familiar? And it's because he sounds just like CeCe DeVille from Poison. Do you remember Behind the Music, the great Behind the Music, where it was like those one-hour documentaries about all the bands from like the 80s and 90s? VH1's Behind the Music. Come on. As a Gen Xer, you should know this.
I do remember Behind the Music. No, I do. I do remember it.
The
now.
Poison one is one of my favorites. Poison's okay. The hair metal band from the 80s. Talk Dirty to Me, all that, Unskinny Bop, all of that. You know okay. The band, right?
Oh, Unskinny Bop, yeah. I always had a problem confusing Poison, I'm sorry to interrupt, with Warrant. Which one of them had Cherry Pie? Is that Warrant?
Warrant was Cherry Pie, yeah. Yeah, that's a video that I'm sure was near and dear to your heart during those ages.
I didn't say anything about the video. I don't know what you're talking about, Jim.
I know.
Continue with your take.
Anyway, that particular episode, the Poison one, is one that is maybe one of my absolute favorites. That and the Motley Crue one. It's
yeah.
Because they're so, you know, you're so filthy and like the lives that they led. And CeCe DeVille talked like this, and he talked about his cocaine problem and how where he lived in L.A., it was the House of Whores. And then it was the House of Horrors. I have had that stuck in my brain for almost 20 years. 20 years. It was the House of Whores. It was the House of Horrors. Now, I've pulled some of these clips. I had to go find. Chris, this has been stuck in my brain all week long. I can't hear Dr. Fauci and think, that's CeCe DeVille. He said, they're both from Brooklyn. There's a 20-year age difference. Because part of me, too, in my sick, childish brain, I was like, where's CeCe DeVille been? Maybe the underrated guitar player, one of the great underrated guitar players of all time, CeCe DeVille of Poison. I was classically trained. You wouldn't know that from playing in Poison. Has actually become Dr. Anthony Fauci, who is just, you know, all up in our faces now, what with this horrible pandemic and time we're living in. But he's not. There's a 20-year difference. But both born in Brooklyn, they have the Brooklyn accent. Spacing, we got to keep away from each other, about 6 feet each. Wear the PPE. Oh, it was a hell of a time there. It was the House of Horrors. It was the House of Horrors. You think I'm wrong? You just heard the voice. And now I'm going to play a trick on you because I've actually taken some sound of Dr. Anthony Fauci and placed it in some of the parts of Behind the Music. But first, let's just reference some of the clips that I'm talking about. Play CC Cut 1. Will you there, B-Rub?
Poison shook the hard rock world with their teased-up, untamed style and sound. But behind the glam band theatrics were four guys who fought fiercely for their fame.
Yeah, we try to stay 6 feet apart. Sometimes that's tough to do, but most of the time we do. In fact, if you look in the audience, we used to have the press that was crowded like crazy together, and now you notice there's multiple seats apart.
So there you go. Who was that, Chris? Was that CeCe DeVille or was that Dr. Anthony Fauci?
The press thing gave it away, but it's remarkable how similar they sound.
So, see, you can't unhear it. I'm telling you, this is my new earworm. You can't unhear this thing. And if you remember, like I do, the poison behind the music, he sounds just like CeCe DeVille. The beginning of that, play that again, because you don't know. But before you do, again, let's reference it. Play CeCe Cut 3, will you, B-Rub?
I just, like, became a parody of, like, daytime TV.
CeCe struggled to lose weight and found that getting thin was even harder than staying sober.
I mean, as crazy as that is, I think it's more acceptable to be a junkie than it is to be overweight.
It's true. In America, you're more accepted as a junkie than being fat. Now go back. That's CeCe. This is Fauci.
Poison shook the hard rock world with their teased-up, untamed style and sound. But behind the glam band theatrics were four guys who fought fiercely for their fame.
Yeah, we try to stay 6 feet apart. Sometimes that's tough to do, but most of the time we do. In fact, if you look in the audience, we used to have the press that was crowded like crazy together, and now you notice there's multiple seats apart.
So, am I crazy for making that correlation, Chris? Like that they're
not at all. That is genius, Jim Murray.
Can't unhear
genius.
It. Now when he gets up there, when he's because all I've really seen of him is like him doing like the face slap when Trump's talking to whoever, and it's like I should be the one up there talking. Now and I'm just gonna keep thinking like it's all I'm gonna hear anytime. I mean, we might not be out of this until 2021. Did I ever tell you the time that we used to do porn stars like Chloe? And then give me the money cut. This is the one I keep thinking about. It was the House of Whores, then it was the House of Horrors.
CeCe's big, beautiful house in a posh L.A. neighborhood became a den of drug addiction.
It was the House of Whores, and then it became the House of Horrors. It's dark, 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 dark times. Very dark. It was just like the heart of darkness, you know? It was like, you know, like Coppola film or something. When you're proverbially in the gutter, morally in the gutter, death is almost welcome. There's been many times when I'd be like, boy, you know, to die here would be a lot easier than just having to go on.
To die with coronavirus right now might be a little bit easier to go on for some of you, but we all have to be safe. Stay in your house of whores. Just don't let it become a house of horrors. I'm not wrong for making this correlation, right? Right?
So no, you're not wrong. No, this is genius. I have to say, you know, this is really the antithesis of the count bit. This is as good as it gets.
You're an a-hole for bringing that one up. Again, some of them they all can't work. You got to take shots. And this one, I was like, I got to bring to the people
because
I can't live with this alone. Fauci sounds just like CeCe DeVille. Here's proof again. I'm going to trick you. This is putting Fauci in a clip of Behind the Music.
Poison's backstage parties became unblushing orgies.
Okay, guys, everything is open. Let's do it.
Nobody's safe.
And along with the female fun came new responsibilities for the crew.
Could you tell? You couldn't tell. They're talking about orgies. Take a clip of Fauci saying, all right, guys, everything's open. Let's do it. You could think that's CeCe DeVille talking about, you know, whatever hole that he wants to have. It was the House of Horrors. Then it was the House of Horrors. When you're living morally in the gutter, proverbially in the gutter with COVID-19, it would be a bad, bad, bad dog. So there you go. Now live with that like I've had to live with that all week. Ever since I really heard Fauci talk, it's like, why have I heard that voice before? Oh, right, 20 years ago, CeCe DeVille talking about his time in Poison. I was classically trained. I wasn't supposed to be in a band like Poison. I was classically trained and I ended up playing hair metal. Now I've turned into the head of infectious disease here in the United States of America. We used to do porn stars up in the Hollywood Hills. Now I'm trying to prevent the world from breaking down, society breaking down, society in the gutter with COVID-19. The dark time. That Brooklyn accent, man, that's strong. I guess I never really realized that. So there you go. Live with that, everyone. It's the Fellas here on 98.5.
This is Gasper and Murray on 98.5 Sports Hub.
The tricky thing is that as you do drugs, the quality of your life goes down to the point where living and dying is almost level. And that's what's scary, because it knocks you down like that.
The 34-year-old former guitar hero finally decided to come clean.
You can't look at it like turning a light switch on and off. You know, we're shut down and now we're going to open. The program that we spoke about yesterday at the press conference is a really very gradual, careful, step-by-step where you have to fulfill certain criteria before you go to phase one.
Well, I see him on the TV preaching about the promised lands. He tells me believe in Jesus.
Tell me there's a difference.
Steals the money from my hands.
Juxtaposition there. CC the beginning.
Some say he was a good man. Lord, I think he sinned.
Fauci after that. Not that much of a difference. Just 20 years. Same bad Brooklyn accent. Gasper and Murray, 98.5 The Sports. Can't unhear it. It's my latest earworm. Once I really heard Fauci talk this week, playing those clips on Felger and Maz.
Will sports come back? Of course I want to see the Washington Nationals. I'm a baseball fan. They're reigning world champions. No one's going to deny that lives could be saved if the U.S. implemented containment measures earlier in the coronavirus outbreak. Now, living in the House of Whores, and it's become the House of Horrors.
Can't unhear it. Here, give me more CC. Again, you can't unhear it.
If you look at the window, you can see the curve of the earth from this house. And it was just the I mean, when you think of Hollywood successful glitz, shallow palace, that was the house.
Hey, you may ask why, because I'm a crazy person. That's obviously, Chris, you have to sit here every Saturday with me and we know each other outside of there. Like, my brain's broken. This stuff has been stuck in my head for 20 years. B-Rob even asked for a commercial break. He's like, when did you know? Immediately. Once I heard, all I heard when Fauci talked wasn't when sports were going to come back. I want to see the Nationals. Here's what we can do. These are the steps. All I
heard was, when you think of Hollywood, shallow, excess, whores, cocaine.
Because this is the life I wanted to live. Like, I was a hack guitar player. It's how I ended up in radio. I wasn't going to hack it as a guitar player. Didn't want to be a music player. I was like, I'll switch to radio. But I wanted to live like Poison. Like,
I wanted to live Hollywood, shallow, excess, House of Whores, House of Horrors.
So I was obsessed with all those shows and those bands at that time. So this has been burned inside of my psyche. And I heard that, and I heard Fauci talk, and I think they're the same guy. I can't help it.
No, I mean, it's remarkable. I mean, it's absolutely genius, and I'm not going to be able to listen to Dr. Anthony Fauci.
He gets
at these coronavirus briefings and think the same thing ever again.
He's going to get up there maybe today with Trump or on Monday.
You know, we look at it from a pure health standpoint. We make a recommendation. The recommendation's taken. And now it's turned into Hollywood excess. Shallow, when you're proverbially in the gutter and you're morally in the gutter. It is what it is. That's where we are right now as a country. We got to keep taking precautions. You got to stay away from cocaine. I was classically trained.
So there you go. Enjoy that earworm. If you want to join the show at any point, 617-779.
Well, what the hell's the end of it? I forgot. 98.5?
098.
0985. Jesus, my brain's broken.
I thought that was part of the bit.
No, it's not.
I thought that was part of your bit.
I think I'm having a stroke.
You have strained your vocal cords today doing all these impressions.
It's very Harvey Fierstein, too. Speaking of something else that was brought up during the break, we obviously have the NFL draft coming up on Thursday.
Yeah. The virtual NFL draft, thanks to the coronavirus, also broken down. Everything is just, society's changed. It's dark.
Chris, you brought up during the commercial break, something you're for, which I can't believe.
I know. It's shocking.
And that is the curious quarterback situation for the Patriots. You have some local beat writers saying Stidham's the guy. Stidham's the guy. It's going to be Stidham. And I'm now riding with those people. I believe that Stidham is the guy. And a lot of it has to do with the way that Belichick has talked about Stidham. He's got the term of affection for him, calling him Stid time and again. Drafted him in the fourth round last year, blah, 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 all that stuff. I think Stid's the guy, and it's a case of emergency break last Brian Hoyer. Maybe they look at someone like Jalen Hurts in the third round as a project quarterback for Josh McDaniels and to do some different stuff. But you said during the commercial break, what would you say to trading the 23rd pick overall for?
One, James Garoppolo.
Now, this makes no sense to me because you, like me, know what Jimmy Garoppolo really is.
Yes.
Italian Goff, Italian Jared Goff. That was proven. We were right. Yeah.
They were
correct.
Wrong. They were
correct.
Wrong.
Yes.
When it came to the Super Bowl, when he crapped his pants in the fourth quarter in that game, and obviously his coach didn't trust him even at the end of the first half.
Yes. Lowest fourth quarter quarterback rating in Super Bowl history. 2.8.
This isn't a bit. It's not a take, like a scorching hot take. You know, it's just throwing it out there to try to, you know, raise the ire of the people. You really believe this? You would do this? You'd trade 23 overall for Garoppolo?
Well, I mean,
why?
There is an entertainment take factor here, but yeah, I would do it. Yeah, I would trade 23 for Jimmy G.
Ugh,
I would.
Look, make your case.
First of all, I think that Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels would be able to get the most out of him. And that's not a knock on Kyle Shanahan, but I think he'd be a better fit for the Patriots offense than that San Francisco offense. He also would have a good defense around him like he did last year in San Francisco to help him out. I think they'd coach some of the turnovers out of him. You know he already fits in your system. Bill loves him. And you know he's an NFL-caliber starting quarterback. You know, the whole Jimmy G argument, and we obviously had it with Felger Mazin, you're right, we won. But so many times Felger tried to take corner me into saying that Jimmy Garoppolo was a terrible quarterback and that he stinks. I never thought that he stinks. I just didn't think that he was a big part of the 49ers' success. I didn't think he was the biggest part of the 49ers' success. But I think if you brought him here, I think he'd be a better player. He still wouldn't have to carry the thing the way that Brady did. And you'd have some certainty at that position. Also, I know he's a little bit older. You know, you mentioned this to me off the air. He's 28 years old. But I also think he's going into the prime of his career. So while I don't think Jimmy Garoppolo is an elite quarterback, and I don't think he ever will be, I think he would be a sure thing for the Patriots. And I think that they could win with him.
So I don't think he straight sucks. I just thought he was limited and he had a ceiling, much like I thought about Goff. Like, he'll get you at a certain point and he'll never get over that hump. And I was proven right a couple of months ago, which feels like 3 years ago now in the Super Bowl. I do agree that if anyone was going to fix him, it's Belichick.
It's Belichick.
But I just feel like that's a terrible precedent when you only got a second rounder in return. The kid just crapped his pants at the biggest game of his life and you'd give up a first round pick for him?
No, it's 23, though. Right? And
you got Ty Law at one point at 23. Like, and granted, you also got Isaiah Wynn, but that's still a valuable draft pick.
But Bill didn't draft Ty Law.
Oh, fair point.
You know?
Yeah.
He didn't draft Teddy Bruschi.
Mm, that's right.
He didn't draft Willie McGinnis.
Yeah, no. Oh, I like the...
I'm just saying. I know Bill's done a good job drafting, but I just think, look, what's your biggest question mark right now? Quarterback. Garoppolo in this system, he's not a question mark. Now, the question would be, how good could he be? You know, would he be the Steve Young to Brady's Joe Montana? I don't know. I tend to think not, but I'd have a lot more faith in him than I would in Stidham, and he would fit here. And I think that they could coach him to a degree where there wouldn't be as much on him, and they would know how to get the most out. You know, my issues with Garoppolo, first of all, he completely lost the trust of his coach last year in the playoffs. There's no question about that. But how did he lose that trust? The interception he threw against Minnesota. It's the turnovers. And I think that McDaniels and Belichick could coach some of the bad decisions and the turnovers out of him. I really do. And there's things that Josh can build into an offense, I think, that he can build into an offense that help a quarterback avoid turns. Because I saw it with Matt Castle. You know, I always joke about this with you, that if they did those old NFL films yearbooks that they used to do, do you remember those?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
1997, New England Patriots. If they did one over the 2008 Patriots, it would have been called Sideways, like the movie, because all Castle did was throw wide receiver screens.
Mm.
And they just made it so much easier for him. And I think that the Patriots would be able to do that. And here's the other thing I always hear about Bill, and you hear this all the time. Remember when they cut bait with Cyrus Jones and it was like, well, you got to give Bill a lot of credit, because the one thing about Bill, he's not fearful about admitting his mistakes and moving on from a mistake. So trading Jimmy for a second round pick, not the trading of Jimmy, but trading him for only a second round pick, I think we all agreed was a mistake. So what does he care about to me, that's more about your ego. What's in the best interest of the team to get the best quarterback you can get? Let's say I think that's Jimmy. Well, then who cares if you gave him up for a second round pick? That shouldn't matter to you if what you espouse all the time is true. Yes, that looks kind of bad for you to trade a second for him and then trade a first to get the guy back, even though the difference in picks is probably about, I'm trying to think. I think the pick they got from San Francisco was 34. They'd be trading 23, so it's 11 slots. But even if that's the case, if what you say is true, then you shouldn't care about how it looks for you.
Yeah, I'd rather go with, how about this, Tua or Jimmy?
Tua.
Thank you. Like, I'd rather go with an unknown. You know,
I don't think Tua's going to be there.
If he was.
Yeah. I just don't think too. I think that thing's been a little overhyped. That they have a they don't have the draft capital, and I just have a hard time. Like even some of the mock drafts I've seen recently, you don't see him getting past Jackson. Jacksonville's going to say we're good with Gardner Minshew. We're going to pass on Tua Tagovailoa, the guy that would have been the number one pick if he could have been out in the draft last year.
I'm just throwing a hypothetical. It really
doing the same with the Jimmy G thing. I'm just saying like.
I think that we've seen what Garoppolo is. I mean, a first is too high. If you wanted to say like a few threes, even if they had a second, you could talk me into that because I do, even though I'm down on Garoppolo and I think he got exposed and I was proven right and all that good stuff. If anyone's going to beat his bad habits out of him, it's Belichick and Josh McDaniels. But a first, 23 overall.
Well, let me just say this. Let me pull the Celtics thing on you, though. We're saying first round pick, and I know they're more valuable in the NFL. I get it. But if we're talking about trading, you know, Dominique Easley, per se, for Jimmy Garoppolo, wouldn't you do that?
Oh, yes.
Would you trade Isaiah Wynn for Garoppolo?
Tonight.
Would you trade Sony Michel for Garoppolo?
Yeah. If you're going to do it. So this is the Gasper trick right here. When you attach names to these terrible draft picks that Bill has made in recent years, you know, the number is more valuable than the name. That's obvious. Well, then sure. He hasn't had a good draft in 3 years. And especially, when's the last time he hit in a first rounder? 2012? So, yeah, if you're going to put names to it, then fine. Of course I would do that. Now I just want to do the rest of the show as Fauci / CC DeVille.
I can tell. I can feel it.
We'll come back after this. It's Fauci and CC here at 98.5 The Sports.
You're listening to Gasper and Murray.
Fantastic chemistry.
98.5 The Sports Hub. Now, you know, this riff was originally from Pete Townsend of The Who, then taken by Fatboy Slim. Holy crap, this is tough to do on my throat.
Oh, jeez. That's not Corona. I hope that's not Corona cough.
Be careful, man.
Oh, man.
You got to be careful.
Hey, it's all for the bit. You know, I'll die for this radio game. Gasper Murray, 98.5 of Sports Hub, unlike those hacks that were on before us.
So I did find the pick, too, because we were talking about this in the break. I'll just say real quick. That second-round pick was, I think I said 34.
64, wasn't it?
Nope, I'm obviously dyslexic. It was 43.
Okay, I know it wasn't. When you said 30, I was like, it wasn't that high. No, it was not enough.
It was 43. It was 43. Now, for some reason, I thought it was 34. I was wrong. It was 43.
So, you know, Garoppolo for 23.
But I stand by my take.
All right, Garoppolo for 23. There would be people, I could understand why people would be with you. He's a Super Bowl quarterback. Lost, crapped his pants in the biggest game of his life. But, you know, if anyone's going to get the best out of him, maybe it's Belichick and McDaniel. You only got a second in return. It was a bad deal from the get-go. You didn't get enough. We all know that. But a first, 23 overall, feh. When you start attaching those names, Isaiah Wynn, yeah, I'd do it. Sony Michel, yeah, I'd do it.
Malcolm Brown.
Malcolm, ugh.
Yeah, you really had a very
just roster filler. Malcolm Brown was a good pick, was he? Name a big play Malcolm Brown ever made. Dominique Easley, what a waste. You got to go back to 2012 until the last time he made a good first-round draft pick, right? Yeah.
I'm taking a quick peek. I mean,
somebody didn't have because of the cheating.
Yeah, the jury's out on N'Keal Harry. I'm looking at it right now. So Jamie Collins was a good pick in 13, but you're a second-round pick. I believe Jamie Collins was the last Pro Bowl player
is correct, yes.
Yeah, they drafted. Yes, you're right. 2012, Chandler Jones and Dante Hightower, they traded up in the first round for both of those players.
That's it. So when you attach names of scrubs, it might be easier to do. Your thoughts on this and anything else discussed here in Gasper and Mario will be mostly phone call heavy between now and 1 when we get off the air. Mike and Woburn, been a minute. How you doing?
How's it going, guys?
Hey, Mike, what's up? How are you coping these days? How are the cyclists treating you, Mike?
You really want me to get started on that topic?
I don't want you to get started, but I would like a quick answer. Yeah, how are the cyclists? How do you feel like they're doing? It's a very popular mode of transportation these days.
Well, you know, it's funny you should bring that up because we're supposed to be, standing still 6 feet away from each other so we don't spread the disease, breathing normally, correct?
Yes.
All right. Imagine huffing and puffing your way on one of these, plague machines down the street now. And they're not going to wear masks because they don't wear helmets. They don't want to protect themselves. So, of course, they won't wear masks. Imagine getting in the slipstream of one of these guys, you know? And cyclists aren't the cleanest of people anyway. They're like Immortan Joe's crew from Mad Max Road Fury, slightly more clean than those people. But, you know, you had the rats spreading the plague in the 15th century, and now you've got the cyclists spreading the plague, the spandex colored vermin
It's like their
in,
own
in 2020.
They have their version.
And, by the way, if you really want to have some fun, go rent one of those shared bikes that they still have open. Believe it or not,
they do.
Do they really?
Oh, I haven't seen it. There's one right by my place, but they got rid of it right away.
Oh no, they announced those things were coming back soon. So take your debit card, go rent the Corona cycle, have a nice time riding around town on something that God knows who was sitting on before you.
The city bikes, you mean?
With the city, those things.
That's crazy.
They brought those back like right away.
I didn't know that.
Bike shops were declared, essential businesses.
Oh God!
Because people who actually have to rely on a bicycle to get around know how to repair it. They don't bring it to Joe at the bike shop to spend $100 to fix their tire or repair a spoke. You know? I'm doing fine. Chris, by the way, congratulations.
Oh, thanks,
congratulations,
Mike.
Appreciate on the new gig.
Thank you.
I feel like we have to have a fundraiser to find your thesaurus a new home now. I don't know if it's going to be able to be employed the way it was previously, but we do need to find a new home for that. I can't wait for sports to get back. I'm going crazy. I am going nuts. I can't. I've basically, Jim, you know how we talk about we have that Schadenfreude that we root for right now.
Mm-hmm.
We root against. It's fun to see other people. I am doing this now with my wife, watching the Food Network and Home and Garden TV.
HGTV.
I'm watching House Hunters and rooting for like knob and tube wiring, for foundation cracks,
for lead paint.
If you ask one of these people to build you a solarium, I am rooting for a tree to split your house like a cupcake. These people just drive. They're the Montreal Canadiens of house shoppers. These people who look for rooms that I've never heard of before.
Yeah,
you know?
Mike, I'm with you on this, and thanks for the call. Hope you're
great
well.
Call, Mike. Hope you're hanging in there.
Yeah. So the wife and I show, and we were on this even before, the Armageddon. Was 90 Day Fiancé.
No, we still haven't seen it.
Oh, it's the best. There's a million commercials, so typically we try to watch it on demand, or save it for another night, because there's just, it's commercial after commercial, like 5 minutes of content, then 15 minutes of commercials. It makes me crazy. That's like how it is on like Bravo and TLC and all those channels. But that 90 Day Fiancé and some of the great losers that are on the show, there's one particular guy, David, who went to Ukraine, like parts of like war-torn Ukraine, which is like, under siege from Russia, to find this woman who doesn't even exist. I'm here for Lana. She's not real. Oh, God. But it's
Lana was a Russian bot.
Oh, Chris, it's so great. He has spent over $100,000 talking to someone that clearly doesn't even exist. He's never met. She won't send him a live video. And he's gone to Ukraine. This isn't the first time. This is his third time. And she's never there. Like, oh, my brother is sick. Brother doesn't exist. You don't exist. And he's spent all this money trying to find this woman that's a dude. It's a dude on the other side of the world behind the keyboard. Oh, and it's so great. And I just root for his misery. Just
transcontinental
like
Continental catfish.
Yeah. Like Mike is rooting for all these people's homes to like the shows he's watching, the Home and Garden shows. Like, you're rooting for the failure. That's what I have with 90 Day Fiancé. Other than that, I'm having a hard time with the old games. I know you've been enjoying old baseball games.
Yeah, I have. I on my DVR, I didn't get a chance to watch it. I watched like game two of the 1982 World Series, but I'm really looking forward to, and I need to do this. I want to talk to Felger about game seven of the 1982 World Series between the Cardinals and his Milwaukee Brewers. I plan to very soon. It's on my DVR. I plan to very soon spite watch that and bring up every single detail of that Brewers loss to him. But I've enjoyed some of the old baseball games. I've actually enjoyed, and they go by pretty quickly.
So, even though I've had some issues with these, I've watched some of the, I watched Patriots, Seahawks. I mentioned a few weeks back, I really enjoyed watching Colts, Saints, that Super Bowl again. The baseball ones, because I don't have MLB Network, maybe I would put more time into it. But midweek or earlier in the week, ESPN had Game 1 88 World Series on, A's Dodgers, which I remember really well.
So I was watching that too.
That was the balls.
Wasn't that amazing?
You really only at this point only remember like the fist pump. Kirk Gibson hits the walk off.
Yeah,
that whole ninth inning is insane. Like, I really, I was, granted, I had like 9 beers in me, but I was like captivated watching that. I was like, oh, I get Chris's point now. Like, and the game flows so well, and it goes so fast, and it's when I used to love baseball, and it was actually good.
Yeah.
Oh, God, it was actually kind of great. And I can understand, after that, I was like, oh, I get why Chris watches this
game. Yeah, no, that was really cool. And me and my wife watched it. I was like, you gotta watch this. This is one of the greatest home runs
in baseball
history. It
still felt tense. Like,
yeah, it
30
did,
years later, it?
It
did.
And you're still watching Gibson, and it's like, he can barely swing the bat, and you're like, there's, even though you know he's gonna hit the home run, you're like, there's
no
way. Oh,
it's painful to watch.
I mean, I just said, it, even watching him circle the bases with the fist pump and everything, it's like, you're looking at it, like, and my wife was like, is he going to make it around the bases? I'm like, oh, yeah, he makes it around the bases. But even when he gets to home plate and they're all trying to mob him, and he's pretty much like, don't touch me, like, I can barely stand up. It's just amazing.
I need you to get on 90 Day Fiancé because you would enjoy it. Like,
I would.
Such great trash. And this guy, like some of them you root for, and you're like, oh, yeah. I can see why this couple would work, this couple, yeah. And okay, seems like a long shot. But this David, you can't imagine someone this dumb. Wait, you've gone to Ukraine 3 times, and you still think this girl exists because all you've done is chatted on a computer? You've never even had a phone conversation? She's not real, you moron. I've come all this way to find Lana. Lana's not real. Let's go to Tony and Shirley. Ooh, kinky. You're next here.
Jimmy.
Ah, hello.
Jimmy, how you doing? Listen, father never gives me any time. I want to say what I want to say, and I have a good point. I agree with you, Jimmy. Congratulations, Chris. I agree
Thank
with you,
you very
Jimmy.
Much, Tony.
I agree with you 100%. You know something? I'm hearing all this thing, and I watch the TV, all these things going up and up on these people getting it, dying. I'd rather wait a year. They have the vaccine out, right? I'd rather wait a year, wait for that. I'd rather be a year older than a year in the ground. Now, on Felger, I think he's a little selfish, Jimmy, because, you know, he wants it back right away. You know, I told you I was a high school dropout. Yes, I had to. It was a point in my life I had to work. But anyways, my point is, degenerate gamblers is a disease, too. Anybody that bets, and Mike, I'm not trying to put you down. Anybody bets a preseason game, you don't know who they're going to put in at the end. I think that's a problem, too. Anyways, in the old games, I'm enjoying watching them. You can teach your kids what you grew up in. They let them play in the day. You guys remember when Lambert got knocked down by Parrish?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Yeah, but I don't Google guys, but you might want to look it up. I don't think Parrish could ever call for a foul. I was listening to Johnny Most, you know, and it was the best time, turn the TV down and listen to Most. I'm 60 years old, and I never remember you got a foul on that to this day. Anyways.
Thanks.
Don't even throw you out.
All right, Tony. Appreciate
All right, Tony.
It.
Thank you. Stay safe, Tony.
Yeah, he had called and gotten into it with Mike in the last couple of days. Like, look, I don't damn on either sides. Like, you know, I'm more with Tony in that if it ain't going to be like the real thing, like I'd rather just wait. But I can understand why people want it back. You want it back because it would help maybe, you know, dip your toe back into, you know, normalcy, and maybe that gets other parts of the economy going and other business start to open. I just. From a logistics standpoint, I get that you got to try. Just on the surface of it, Chris, from a logistics standpoint, and they're saying, like, well, maybe if we can have people start to go to the games, but they got to sit
two seats apart. I thought that was asinine.
Yeah, like,
I'm not going
to That lie. Kind of thing. And then you add booze to it. Like, if you've been out, you see it. Like, it's starting to get weirder by the day. People are starting to get real paranoid. Now there's, like, mask madness going on. You got to wear the mask. How come you're not wearing the mask? Is that a real N95? You're not protected enough. Ah! You're too close. You're not close enough. Why are you breathing on me? You're going to add booze to that? And then at a sporting event, you're just asking for fights and chaos. Like, I don't think it's going to work.
Can I just make one comment? This is sort of related, but it's kind of not. But just, did you look at any of the, you know, sort of provisions that they put out there about, you know, opening America again and sort of how that works?
No.
Okay. So, you know, what the president put out, there's different steps and different phases, I believe is the right term, different phases of this. Somehow in phase one was opening gyms.
Oh, so
opening gyms before parks were opened, which, and so that just makes me lose faith in the whole thing, because even in regular times, there's no place that's dirtier, filthier, more full of bacteria, viruses, stuff that you don't want to catch that you can get sick than a gym.
Yeah, so I'm a little torn here. So the bigger ones, yes, I'm with you. Filth pits. But smaller operations like the place that I go to where, you know, there's never more than 4 or 5 people in there. It's, you know, even before the shutdown. And if you go to one of these smaller boutique gyms that is owned and operated by a guy that, you know, or a person that really, you know, takes care of it and sanitizes even before this madness, they're doing their due diligence and they're, you know, putting a lot of care in making sure that everything is clean. Your bigger gyms, I can understand why you'd be skeevy and freaked out about that, but I'm not totally against that. I think the gym
before
be
you
open
a park.
Oh, well, the park should be open too. That's silly that wasn't involved. I don't know that's
so true. That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. You know, phase two is park. I mean, I'm not anti-gym. God, I want to get back in my Pilates place. You know, they've done a great job on Zoom, and it's sort of what you're saying. It's a smaller shop, and they were always doing a great job, you know, being sanitary before and making sure that the place was clean. But the reality is I'm looking – it just makes me lose faith in the guidelines when I look at it and I'm like, wait, let me put it like this. To me, I'm looking – are these guidelines based on safety – or businesses? You know what I mean? Like, parks aren't really a business per se. Gyms are. So it's like, well, what are we going to open? Are we basing this on what makes the most sense from a health standpoint to open up first? Or are we basing this on, I just want to get these businesses open? Oh, gyms. Gyms, you can go first, and as opposed to a park.
Yeah, it's probably the latter. Yeah. We'll wrap up next.
That bugs me.
Five questions for Chris Gasper. Got nothing to do with sports.
This is Gasper and Murray.
You will listen.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I got five questions from Chris Gasper of the Globe. I got five questions that got nothing to do with sports. I got five questions.
Five. One, two, three, four, five.
I got five questions. I hope this segment ain't too wild.
Holy crap, I just realized that. Gasper Murray, 98.5 of Sports Up, as we wrap up for today. Chris just said, this is Chris Gasper of the Globe in this stupid little intro song here. That's right. I got to redo this. It's no longer Chris Gasper of the Globe. It's Chris Gasper of WCVB-TV.
Like, or you just say Channel 5.
Chris Gasper of Channel 5. Yeah,
see, there you go. That
there
works.
We go.
Yeah,
all right. You got all it. Right. That's making me work harder.
Sorry.
all right. Oh, before we get into the five questions here, I just wanted to do a quick little favor for a buddy of ours. You know Drea.
Yes, I know Drea. Yeah, you know, he sent me a nice message.
Man about town, photographer. He's like at every single event. I don't know how the guy ever sleeps. So he is raising money for the Charlestown Face Shield Project. They're donating reusable face shields to local hospitals here in Massachusetts. They've donated, I think this is the last time he texted me, up to 11,000 of them to hospitals in Massachusetts. It's got to be more than that, but they've been approved for use by Beth Israel, BMC, Tufts, Cambridge Health Alliance, Cape Cod Healthcare Network. So I'll tweet this out if you want to try to help them out. Obviously doing a very good thing here, as they are, again, the Charlestown Face Shield Project. So I'll tweet that out as we wrap up here in a few minutes. All right, Chris, question number one. What would you give up? What would you realistically give up? Like something that's major, maybe even a limb, to end the pandemic tonight?
Ooh, geez. Well, that's a tough one. What would I give up?
And it's bang, back to normal tomorrow. People at churches. People are out. People are, you know, having their times. Restaurants, brunches, doing, smiles again. All of that.
I'd give up my, does it have to be a physical, like?
No, it's good, but something major. I'll be the arbiter of this.
I would give up my television.
Not enough.
Not enough?
Forever? No more TV. You can't watch sports.
Oh, that would be useless then, because I need it for my job. Yep. So you're saying if I give this up, I never get it back? Like, it's not like I couldn't give up my car and then just a few years from now get another one?
Yeah, it's like that. It's got to be something major.
So something that I would never get back?
Yep.
I would... Oof, that's really tough. I would give up... This is a hard question. I would give up barbecue, which I love. I mean, that's super painful for
okay.
me.
Still don't know if it's enough. I'd be willing to give a hand.
Would really give up a hand?
What do I need my left hand for? I'm good enough with just the right.
That seems a little extreme.
I want it over, Chris. I just want normalcy back. In case you don't know, man on the edge here. all right, question number two. A doctor released a report saying sports and concerts may not resume until fall 2021, depending on what other nerds you listen to, maybe 2022. If they were to resume right now,
yeah,
or even a few months from now, and they say, we got the all clear, are you going to think twice, or are you just going to be ready to go?
I would watch it. I mean, look, if they're doing the empty stadium thing, and they say, you know, we feel like we have this set up, while I would have reservations, I'm not going to lie. I'm a sports junkie, and it's been hard to go cold turkey. So, yeah, I'll be right back at the table.
If you opened a restaurant or bar tonight, I'm there. Like, if it was the all clear, I know I'm going to get some dirty looks. But like, oh, rubble, how dare you? But if it was opened and the law allowed it, I'm there tonight.
What if they didn't take reservations at said restaurant?
Chris, as I said to open the show, even things that I despise, I miss. Waiting in line, traffic, parking, drunk hammerheads with bad, all of it.
So I'll tell the good folks at Prairie Fire you are now willing to go to their restaurant.
Willing to wait. I am. You see the photos that make a lot of people mad, especially the sports media arm of CDC, like Jacksonville Beach opened yesterday.
Yeah.
Pops up on social media. Everyone loses their mind. You see that photo and you think what?
I just think, I mean, I don't lose my mind, Jim, but I just think it's kind of stupid and a little bit selfish. I mean, you know, look, I get it. It's a nice place to live. The weather's good down there. People want to go to the beach. But I also think there is a degree, while we all want normalcy, you also can't have ignorance and act like, you know, there's no consequences. And while there might not be consequences for you, there could be consequences for others. So, you know, give it a little more time. I know it feels like it's been 5 years for everybody, but it's been like a month. If this has shown me anything, it's shown me how selfish we've become as a society.
Oh, I knew from the rip. This country was not prepared for something like this. Absolutely not. I'm part of that, too. What did you have a wedding song? Did you have a first dance wedding song?
Yes, we did. It was, oh, man, you're putting me in a bad spot. I want to kill you for
Poison
a
Talk Dirty to
no,
Me?
No, it's Van Morrison.
Brown Eyed Girl?
No, I'm not good. I'm not good with music. I'm not good with song titles.
Well, I hope I just didn't get you in trouble.
Yeah, you probably did. Especially because we have the song and the lyrics of it are framed and hanging up in our place, in our dwelling. It's Van Morrison. I can't remember the song.
Morrison.
Thanks, Jim. I really appreciate it.
You're so screwed now.
Thanks a lot, buddy.
Brand New Day. Have I told you lately? Days like this. Someone like you.
Someone like you. Thank you.
There we go.
Someone like you, Van Morrison.
You knew it. You knew this. Man, I'm sorry.
We've been doing this for a long time. That is by far my least favorite question you have ever asked.
I'm so sorry.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It's not like I'm quarantined with my wife or anything and won't hear about it.
Thanks, buddy. I'm so sorry. Is the trend of posting your senior picture online right now in honor of the class of 2020 funny or insensitive?
I don't know. I think it's funny.
Yeah.
I enjoy it. We all need a laugh. You've given us lots of laughs. I have to say, I've laughed more today probably than I have in weeks. So it's been good. I've enjoyed it.
He's got a new job. He's got a lot on his mind. Don't take it personally. Like, he forgot. Remember the artist. That's the important thing. Van Morrison, he's got a big catalog. And he celebrates the entire catalog. So don't be so upset. That's okay. That will do it for us here this Saturday. Always a pleasure, Chris.
Yes, thanks, Jim.
Congratulations again.
Thank you, man.
I'll be looking for him on Channel 5.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.